Ruling instead delivered a powerful and moving speech on race. The Sky Sports pundit and legendary West Indian fast bowler fought back tears as he called for an end to institutional racism and for meaningful education on black history. Extraordinary stuff. And Michael Holding joins me now from Southampton. Good evening, Michael. Thank you for being with us. Now, you've done a lot of commentary, but that right there was possibly the most powerful thing that you have said. What impact do you hope it has?
Well, Mark, thanks for having me. Thanks for giving me the opportunity again to talk to the entire public and the world about this thing. I would hope, Mark, that it's not just something that people have heard and they will just brush it under the carpet and eventually just move on. I would hope that people understand exactly what I'm saying and that understand exactly where I'm coming from with what I'm saying. I'm 66 years old. I'm no kid. I have been through it, I've seen it, and I've experienced it with other people. And as I said, as a young man, I was very selfish. I just said to myself, that's not affecting me. I'll just walk away, no big thing. But when you realize it's affecting so many different people over the world, and then when you realize you see with your own eyes the victimization, you just can't keep on just saying you're going to walk away and forget it because it doesn't affect you. And that is why I had to say what I said. It was not planned. It was because it rained. Obviously, the video was planned. The video was recorded about a week or so before we came to Southampton. But I had it all pent up inside of me, and I just had to say it.
Yeah, I mean, it was unscripted, obviously, and from the heart. But your appeal was about education, for history when taught to include the white perspective and the black perspective.
Definitely, Mark. You see, if you go back to many years, many centuries, the entire world and society was built on white people. White people did everything. And whatever you're taught in school, I spent about 9 years at high school. I wasn't that bright, so I spent a lot of time at high school. But I was never taught anything about anything that a black person that was good. And when you grow up and that is inculcated in you, that everything good is done by the white man or anything bad is done by a black man, it cannot be good for your health. Mental health I'm talking about. You have kids growing up that they think they have absolutely no chance of achieving what other kids their same age but just with a different skin color has achieved. And that can't be good. I can give you many stories and examples. I gave some when I was speaking yesterday about the different studies that were done at Yale University. This is not just some little university in some backwoods. Yale University did these studies, and they discovered the institutionalized racism that is going on. It cannot continue like this. We have to understand that people are people. Okay, you want to write a book about the history of your people? What about explaining everything about that history? Everything, not just what is suitable to be explained.
Yeah, and your own personal experience since you've been playing cricket, have you experienced racism on the cricket field?
Not by cricketers. I've never had one cricketer anywhere in the world that has passed a racist remark to me. Never, ever. But of course, I spend most of my time though at fine leg and third man. And you know what people in the stands will say. So you hear it. But never, ever has a cricketer passed a racist remark to me because I wouldn't have stood for it anyway.
But what about wider society? What about just your normal life on the streets of the UK?
Lots, Mark, lots. Lots, lots. You know, I can tell you about so many things that have happened to me here in the UK and even in Australia where I've been, in South Africa since I started going down there, lots of things. I'll give you an example of each place. Here in the UK, I was with the lady that is now my wife, who is Portuguese background, that means that she's white, and I was standing beside her in Leicester Square, waiting on a taxi. We had just gone to Chinatown to get a meal. Came back out, trying to get a taxi. The taxi was heading in our direction with his lights on. I stepped out to put my hand in the road for the taxi driver to stop. He turned off the light. That's not only me. I saw it happen to friends of mine years ago. He turned off the light, and when he passed me, he turned it back on. And a West Indian background across the street saw me, shouted to me, recognized me, and said, Mikey, you have to put her in front, which is meaning put the white lady in front, because the guy will stop for the white lady. And I shouted back to him, I'll walk first. Yeah. That is this country. Australia, West Indies team were down there in the 80s. A group of us were in the lift because whenever we go to Australia and we stay in a hotel, they put the entire team on the same floor. So about four or five of us got into the lift to go down into the lobby. It stopped on the floor below ours. The doors opened, and an Australian, a white Australian guy stood there, saw us in the lift, and decided he was not going to come into the lift. Okay, if you feel intimidated by four big black guys, fine. The lift door starts to close, and he shouts a racist remark just as the door is closing. So we just laugh, we go down into the lobby, we go our way. That's Australia.
Yeah.
Down to South Africa now. The first time I went to South Africa, I went with Sky. I went there on my own. The second time I went to World Cup, again, with my wife, same white lady, our skin white, Portuguese background. We stood at the lobby trying to book in. A guy came to me, tried to book me in, and somebody walked up to her immediately to try to book her in, because in their mind, she could not be with me. And that is the sort of thing, but we laugh about those things, because when I'm not living in the society, I just laugh about it. Sometimes I grimace in my head and I move on.
So,
but I cannot keep on laughing, grimacing and moving on. It's time for change.
So my question, I think, is, you know, after what's happened to George Floyd and all that has followed from that, Michael, do you think the time is right now? Could this be the moment where things can and possibly do change?
I think it can. I think it definitely is the moment. I've seen so many positive things since that George Floyd situation, Mark. I made a comment about the amount of white people that I see are in these protest marches. Some protest marches have more whites than blacks. I think that's a huge plus for this movement. One thing that a friend of mine even sent me on WhatsApp today, there's a gentleman in the United States, a bloodstock agent, who posted some racist remarks on his private whatever, Facebook. I don't know what to do. I'm not a big guy on social media. But it became public. Keeneland Racing Industry banned him immediately. He, neither he nor the company he represents, the horses he's trying to sell or buy, can go to Keeneland this year. Shortly after that, his son posted on, again, some social media that it's his father. He's ashamed of what his father did. But in a way, he's glad, because for the last 20 years, he has been trying to have this conversation with his father about his racist remarks. Yeah. And he says he's so glad to a degree that it happened, so he can now actually sit down with his father and say, listen, this is what you have been doing. This cannot be right. This is his own son. And he came out with a post criticizing his father and said he's glad he can now sit down with him and discuss it.
Yeah.
I see the possibility of change. And this is not just a few people talking, a few people marching for a week, day or two. I think with even companies, Mark, the company that we are working for now, they have pledged £30 million towards this thing, this campaign. And I see a lot of other companies doing that, and that is the most important thing.
Right.
Look at people on the street walking up and down and not going in a particular shop. That is important, yes, but you need big corporations to back this thing.
All right, just two more questions. Going on from what you say,
sure.
It's going to take an enormous effort from everybody, talking about having people in decision, black people in decision-making positions in sport, in business, in politics. This is going to take a long time, and it may just be that, you know, everything goes back to normal.
I would hope it won't go back to normal. I'll hope that train will just keep on moving. And yes, I know it's going to take a long time. I am 66 years old. I may not see it myself. What I'm hoping for is future generations, that they will all have equality. My grandson, for instance, he's 6 years old. I hope that when he gets to be a man, that there will be nothing about black and white and brown and pink. It will just be human beings, that everybody gets an equal opportunity depending on their skills, not the color of their skin or their race or their ethnicity or what their religion. That is what I'm hoping for. That's a big hope. But I'm hoping that we are moving in the right direction and eventually we'll get there. This thing has been going on for decades or centuries, Mark, so I don't expect overnight change. But it has to start somewhere, and hopefully it will just keep on rolling a bit at a time, a bit at a time. You cannot change what is in people's heads overnight. As I said yesterday, a lot of it is not people thinking negatively. It is something that is just seeps in almost like osmosis in their mindset. That study that I related to with the preschools teachers who automatically look for the black kids to be misbehaving, they were embarrassed when they were told that's what they did, because it is not conscious. It is not something that they consciously think about. But when you live in a society and you live in that environment, you automatically get it into your head. The son of that bloodstock agent, he said that that is what his father taught him.
Yeah.
That is not something that he was born with. Nobody is born with it. But if you don't have the people to teach it, and eventually it will just die away. As I said, I will be around to see it, but I'm hoping for future generations.
Well, look, one last thing, Michael. At the end of your impromptu speech, yesterday, you seemed visibly upset. How difficult was it emotionally? I mean, in the middle of a rain delay, at a cricket match, on live television.
To be honest, that emotional part came when I started thinking of my parents. And it's coming again now. Mark, I know what my parents went through.
All right, take your time, Michael. Take your time.
My mother's family stopped talking to her because her husband was too dark. I know what they went through, and that came back to me immediately.
All right, Michael. Well, look, extraordinary stuff yesterday, and thank you very much for being with us today. And as you say, it may be the moment that things change, and you obviously hope so.
Well, it's going to be a slow process, Mark, but I hope, even if it's a baby step at a time, even snail's pace, but I'm hoping it will continue in the right direction. Even snail's pace, I don't care.
Okay, Michael, look, I appreciate you joining us and a difficult subject, but something you wanted to talk about. Thank you very much for being with us, Michael.
My pleasure.